Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Roker Report podcast in association with the brilliant Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. Today I am joined by Chris Wynn once again. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm not bad, mate. I had a dip in the sea this afternoon, so I'm refreshed.
Oh, rather you than me. Even at this time of year, it's still freezing, like. So.
It was frigging freezing. I was going to ask, how was the market today?
Oh, yeah. So that anybody listening who didn't see our social media today, the Soup Kitchen ran the first Sunderland Community Market, which is going to be running first Sunday of every month, right opposite their building at Albert's Place in the town. And it was great. There was probably 20 stalls there, so for the first ever attempt, to have 20 different market outlets there was brilliant. People selling all kinds of things. I think I spent about 40 quid just on bits and pieces, really, but I love market to me anyways. Yeah. But not brilliant, and it was good to see Andrea again. She's the one person I know, if she's got an idea in her head, she'll get it done. And I think the market just started as an idea in her head, and there we go, it's off and running. So, no, it was great. Also, yeah, today it's been very quiet in this first couple of minutes. Aunt Watson,
I'm all right. I just listen to about your market and all that. And you seem really excited about it, so it's all good for the community.
Well, I've got it. See what it is. I've got a curry pie and a slice of cookie dough cake in the fridge for me tea.
Us hungry now, like.
So I'm just going to rattle through this podcast and, you know, get on the munch.
Well, the line for Sean. It's just Gav saying, I love markets, mate.
To be fair, I was at Tynemouth Market last weekend and the Quayside Market. Right market nonce. Love it. Take your dog in, you see. That's why I like it.
I'm just imagining Twitter now.
But anyways, we're not here to talk about what we've already yapped on too much about anything but the football. You think there was nothing to talk about, but yeah, Sunderland then. Let's get back to it. Sunderland beat Hull on Friday night. Last game of pre-season, Chris. The team news beforehand was a bit surprising. Lee Johnson wasn't there. I think, I don't know which players were affected by the stomach bug that apparently went around the squad, but obviously Pritchard wasn't there because of his COVID complications. Then we had no Burge, no Wright, no McGeady. We had no Benji Kimpioka. It was a funny old squad we had out, wasn't it? But we got the job done. That's the main thing.
It was. They all had the shit, didn't they? Right. It was. But it's funny. All of those you mentioned. It's like how many of those would have 100% have been in the team?
Mm. I mean, yeah. Well, you see, I don't know, mate. Pritchard, obviously, we can disregard him at the minute. Yeah. But Burge probably would have started. Wright, I think,
maybe
is an interesting one. McGeady, yeah. If I remember rightly, isn't McGeady out because of some sort of knee issue, maybe?
He's had an injection in his knee or something, I think. Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe they're just saving him for the first game. I don't know. But it was good to see anyways that even with that little spanner thrown in the works, we just cracked on. That's sort of been the theme of pre-season, hasn't it? And I wrote about this on the site last week. Even with all the fuss going on off the pitch with fans worried about this, that and the other, on the pitch, I think we've actually just cracked on and done all right. And I think beating a championship side, although it's Hull, I know they've just gone up, but still, the championship side is pleasing, isn't it?
Of course, yeah. I mean, like, you've got to look at pre-season being, on a results basis, a success. You know, I don't think we've lost, have we? So, we've, you know, it's unbeaten. It breeds confidence. We're having a look at, obviously, Elliot Embleton shone again on Friday night. So, it can only be a good thing going into Saturday now, full of beans, to be honest. Obviously, there's a few things that we need to, you know, sort out. Obviously, not having a recognised full-back's a little bit of a worry, but Winchester's done well. I thought he played well on Friday night. So, yeah, it's different football as well, though, isn't it? We're seeing them. We're not just lumping the ball up to the strike. We're actually trying to play a bit of football through in the middle. It's really, yeah, really pleasing, to be honest. But we do need to bring a few players in, I think. But we'll trust Lee Johnson with,
yeah,
that, I think.
Yeah, we'll touch on that in a bit. But one point you made there about Elliot Embleton. If Pritchard had been available, Chris, he probably would have played in that position in pre-season that Embleton sort of occupied. But, you know, Embleton seems to have benefited from the fact he's not been there. He's played pretty consistently as a 10. And, I mean, that pass for the goal to Ross Stewart is a big marker for me. I mean, that shows exactly what he's going to be capable of if he gets a run of games in the league. And I think he will, because Pritchard's so far behind.
I mean, Lee Johnson said, though, in his comments, I can't remember after which game, might have been after the last one against Harrogate, I can't remember. But he said at one point, he said, well, he's looking for two senior players for each position. And if you're talking, yeah, about that one behind the front two, I mean, look at the form of Embleton. And we've got Pritchard with you know, his experience of what he's done in the game. Hopefully we'll get the good part of Pritchard that was seen kind of when he made 10 million plus moves a few years ago. But yeah, if we've got those two as a choice in that position, then, I mean, that's fantastic going into the season. But it also gives us the flexibility. If we play three in midfield, you know, some of these games at home, I remember Parkinson, everyone screaming when we were playing these home games, when we were struggling to break teams down. Now, in these games where we play the lower league sides, you know, the teams that are going to finish in the bottom half of League One at home, and we can't break them down. Now, if you end up playing with a three in midfield, maybe Evans in front of a back four, but then Pritchard and Embleton behind a front three, I mean, that's going to give us so much more options, flexibility. It's going to give us that creativity behind, you know, two wide players and what looks like to be Stewart up front. So it's not necessarily going to be Pritchard or Embleton. In some games, especially home games, it could be Embleton and Pritchard behind that, yeah, front three. So I just think,
and maybe McGeady as well, you know, that's quite a creative midfield, isn't it?
Exactly. I just think that flexibility could be fantastic if you get at the business end of the season and we're yeah, looking at, you know, 15 minutes left, 0-0 at home, trying to think who didn't go down, someone shite who didn't go down, one of those teams. And you know, you need those players to unlock the door.
Yeah. And on the goal as well, and Ross Stewart, it was a great movement and finish. I'm so glad he scored, because there was a few people sort of doubting him on social media, saying he's not going to be able to replace Charlie Wyke. And we've actually had a question from Chris Day. He asks, is Ross Stewart the answer to letting 25-goal Charlie Wyke leave? I think again, as I've just said about Embleton, it's a sort of a marker from him as to what he's capable of. Same with Stewart, isn't it? You know, we've seen that he's able to get on the end of these passes and get into good positions and finish.
Yeah. I mean, I think we spoke about him last week as well, didn't we, with Phil? And I mean, I don't think he will score 25 goals, but I don't think he's expected to, if you know what I mean by that. Like, I think if he gets, yeah, 15 to 20, I'll be over the moon with that. But I'm expecting, you know, Pritchard, Embleton, McGeady, Diamond all chip in, Luke 09 as well, who can score goals. So I'm expecting it to be a bit more of, you know, a few players getting 10 to 15 goals rather than just hoping that it's going to be the striker in Ross Stewart. But Ross Stewart's movement for that goal, I mean, a great ball by Elliot Embleton, but, you know, the movement, it's a great touch and it's a great finish as well. And like you, I'm really, really pleased for him, because he has been playing well without scoring in pre-season. That would be, again, for confidence-wise, he'll be on top now, so it'll be interesting. And I'm actually looking forward to the season. It's the first time in a while. I'm actually looking forward to it.
I don't think it's a case of trying to, you know, we're not trying to do like for like, get some, you know, Charlie Wyke got 30 goals, we need someone to get 30 goals. That's not how we are going to be looking at it. It's not how we should be looking at it. And I'm pretty sure Johnson and Speakman aren't writing that sort of thing down. We must get one person to score 30 goals. It's about getting what, 90 points to get automatic promotion?
Yeah.
That's the aim. And it's about building a team to pick up points in every game, get those 3 points, get the points where you're struggling. It's not, you know, the a few times Wyke scored 3 or 4 goals in a couple of games and, all right, that's fantastic. There's no denying that. You can't knock them for that. But the way we played in some games where we struggled because the ball came back too quickly and we gave away a goal and we lost 2 points or whatever, or we couldn't get a grip on a game, we need a different way of playing And we're not just replacing the goals, we're replacing the way of playing, and the goals have got to be spread around, like Ant said. So it's never going to be a like for like, and that's not going to be the target of what we've been looking at this summer.
Yeah, and the other thing of note is that we had two central midfielders again at fullback. We'll come onto the recruitment side of it, but Carl Winchester at right back's actually looked all right. I'm not saying he's the long-term solution, Ant, but Carl Winchester at right back has looked okay in pre-season. I mean, at Owen Sarah 5 has asked us thoughts on having Winchester at right back. He looks solid enough. Like I say, I mean, for the first game, it's likely he's going to play there, isn't it? But long term, what do you think? Him as a right back? I'd rather he was just kept as backup personally, but he looks all right, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's done okay. Yeah, he was okay on Friday night. So, I mean, I'm not one for the, you know, square pegs and round holes again this season, you know what I mean? So I would like to see us sign a right back, obviously. You know, whatever's what irons are in the fire, we're not sure, are we? Because it's been a little bit quiet in the last couple of weeks. Obviously, Gallagher was meant to be coming and isn't coming anymore. But he has done a good job, and it's flexibility as well. I mean, I think with Carl Winchester, I wouldn't have him in my midfield at the minute. You know, I think Corey Evans has nailed down that defensive midfielder position. So, but he is a good backup to have. But yeah, he's done well. I'd rather see him there than Luke O'Neill, because I'd rather O'Neill get forward. You know what I mean? So yeah, he's done good. I think there's been a lot of unfair criticism for him this week. You know, it was something put on Twitter. There was like a few pictures, obviously Max Powell there, Luke O'Neill there, and then Winchester. That's a bit unfair on Winchester, that, to be honest, but he's doing his best. He's done okay, so fair play to him.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp as you. I think he's done a job for the team, and although it's not ideal, we all know we need fullbacks. Like, there's nobody saying we don't. But it is sometimes nice when a player drops in to help out in a position and they do well, because it gives the manager sort of confidence, you know. Like, if we have any problems with injuries, or if the right-back situation goes on for another 3 weeks, 4 weeks, like it could, because, you know, we've got another month before the window shuts, that he can rely on Winchester to drop in there. And like you've just said, Ant, you know, he's not going to get in ahead of Evans if Evans is fit in that holding midfield position. So, you know, it's likely that his playing time over the next month's going to come at right-back. And it's good, isn't it, Chris, to be able to call upon players who... And I think Lee Johnson's touched on this. He quite likes the idea of just putting midfielders all over the park and seeing how they do. Like Dan Neil playing left back. Again, not a long-term solution. Nobody is saying that. But doing all right there proves that if we need them to, they can play there. And as the season goes on, you know, if we end up in an injury situation like we did last year, that we have players who can fill in.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, and I'm almost certain that Carl Winchester and Dan Neil aren't someone who, when the team were looking at the squad in the lead up to the end of the season and in the summer, they hadn't identified these players to play fullback. It's just that we've got an overload of midfielders who are comfortable on the ball, and they kind of can slot in, especially for these pre-season games where you're not going to have it, you know, the pressure's not on. You're not talking about you're up against one-on-one, and it's the difference between winning and losing a game, whether you get the best of a winger or not. And you know, Carl Winchester and Dan Neil are very comfortable on the ball, and they can easily slot back into those sort of positions, because when they're in possession, they're good in possession. And at fullback, they're not, you know, during these pre-season games, Winchester, when he got the goal, was it at Harrogate he got the goal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a league game, he would have never have been in that position, I don't think, because he had free rein to get up and down. So they're not long-term solutions. I'd be amazed if we came into the kind of festive season and we had Carl Winchester and Dan Neil at fullback. It looks like, with the Gallagher thing that Ant mentioned, we've been biding our time to get the right people in at fullback. I think with the way the team operates, we want specific attributes at fullback. I think fullback's a really important position in the way we want to play, because we're going to push our wingers high up the pitch. They're not going to play as orthodox midfielders. So I think we want pace, we want energy, we want them to be fit, stamina up and down the flanks. And I think we're waiting for the precise people we want. And I think the Gallagher deal said everything that, like, pointed exactly to that, because we thought, oh, actually, there's someone better who can do that job for us. Let's wait for him.
Yeah, I think that leads us nicely into the next segment I want to do on transfers and recruitment, because we've had a boatload of questions on Twitter from people just around the subject of the transfer window. And Nathan Gunn's asked a good question. How are we in a position where we are less than a week away from the start of the season with no senior fullbacks? I'm all for waiting for the right players at the right prices, but this is leaving us painfully short. I'll just add in on this. I mean, like I said before, we all know we're desperate to bring players in, but if the rumour, I say rumour, it's pretty much been confirmed on the Nottingham side that we're after Gabriel, their right back, who was on loan at Blackpool last season. Now, the problem is there that the club want him. They're willing to pay a lot of money for him. I think the price tag's around 600 grand for this guy. But Notts Forest don't have another right back. So he is their only right back. They're not going to let him go now. Not unless we pay, you know, over the odds to get him. So the club are then in a situation where they're like, well, we want him. Forest are going to eventually sign some right backs to free him up. Do we sign somebody now or do we sign him later in the window? I know we need probably two right backs, but I actually think, well, I wonder whether Johnson and Speakman are looking at it and thinking we can get away with maybe just signing one right back. Are they maybe looking at it and think we our backup in that position, we don't need a specialist. We'll go out and we'll sign Gabriel for good money, if that's who they're after, and then worry about the backup sort of side of things later. And you know, if we get to January and we've realised we're desperate for a right back, it is an interesting one, isn't it, Chris? Because like I say, we clearly need two players in both positions, but it's whether they're going to sort of allow us to go into the season. I think our left back will probably sign two, and one of them will be Denver Hume. But yeah, around that question from Nathan, how have we allowed ourselves to get into this situation, do you think?
Well, I don't think it's a case of allowing ourselves, like I've kind of just touched on. And the Winchester example that you gave there, I mean, you know, if you're looking at the holding midfielder role, we've brought Evans in. Winchester's likely going to be that person who slots in if Evans picks up an injury, which, you know, let's say, all right, I think his injuries over the last year or so have been a bit strange, but let's say he does pick up an injury. Winchester, in theory, should slot straight in there. Now, if we go down the route you've been talking about, Gav, and we lose that right back, you know, if we bring in one first choice right back and then he gets injured and Evans is injured, then we've got a problem because our backup right back, if you say Winchester needs to slot in there, we haven't got anyone to slot in for Evans. Or we've got to put Dan Neil in, who it looks like, you know, Lee Johnson wants to dictate when to bring Dan Neil in rather than, oh, we've got two injuries, I have to put Dan Neil in for the next 10 games. He doesn't want to do that. So I just don't think with the sounds that are coming out of the club, we're going to go down that route where we're going to leave ourselves short in that way, because two injuries, and if that happens for a couple of months, you've seen how much injuries affected us last season, even for a month or so. Sanderson out for the end of the season, that's us in the playoffs, or, you know, a couple of other players picked up injuries. So I think we're biding our time, and I think in some senses, I mean, people are going, why didn't we get everything done early? And I wanted us to get everything done early. I was desperate to get all our signings done early. But you can look at that and say, well, actually, sometimes when people go early, is that not a sign of panicking? You know, rather than wait until what we're doing and saying, right, instead of getting, right, oh, actually, he's been canny in League One for the last couple of years. Let's just get him because we need somebody now. It's, you know, the 8th of July and we've got pre-season training coming. Instead of saying, well, actually, look, the window shuts 31st of August. So that's when we want our squad settled by. Yes, okay, ideally it's going to be by the first game. But if we can't get our first or second choices in by that point, but we know we can get them 15th of August, 20th of August, 25th of August, then is it not worth waiting, even if that continues into the first three games? But we're going to see the benefits at Christmas. We're going to see the benefits in February, March,
yeah,
at the end of the season. So I'd prefer us, instead of getting, you know, and quite how many times have we seen, especially in League One, that we fill our squad with plodders and then we can't get rid of them, exactly, or they leave after a season? Let's think about it. Buy the right players. Doesn't matter whether it's at the end of the window or whenever it is during the window, just as long as by the end of the window, we're in a decent place. Now, I might be saying all this and come the 1st of September, I might be saying, oh shit, we haven't got two fullbacks. But let's just see where we are at the end of the window.
Yeah, you got confidence, Ant, by the end of the window that we'll have everything we need.
I think so, yeah. I do think they are looking at the, you know, the right signings, aren't they? They're not just panicking. I mean, on the right back, left back issue, obviously the contract with Denver Hume's just gone on far too long, hasn't it? You know, that needs sorting out. Obviously, I think he's given him a week, hasn't he? And he wants a decision made. So we're going to get a decision year or near by the first game of the season. So at least that's going to be out the way. Personally, for me, I would have looked at maybe keeping Conor McLaughlin just for another year because they knew they were going to, you know, there'd be a shorter right back or a left back or something like that just as a backup. But, you know, he was, to be honest, he wasn't great. So I'm quite confident anyway. I think, you know, the start of the season that we've got, it's not overly difficult, is it? You know what I mean? Obviously, Wigan's going to be a hard game, the first game of the season, but it's not necessarily playing all the top teams in the first month, so we can probably get away with it. But we've just got to put the trust in Johnson and Speakman. You know, they know what they're doing, and we've just got to put our trust in, be a little bit more patient. And I was saying this every week, be patient, but I'd rather at the end of the window have the right player instead of just panicking early and getting, you know, like what Chris has said, we've tried it with plodders and it hasn't worked, so we're trying something different, so we just need to just have patience, I think.
Just on that word, patience, Joe Hughes has asked, I'd like you to discuss the lack of patience shown by a subsection of the fan base. Thoughts on that, Chris? Well, do you want to go down that rabbit hole?
Just quickly, and I'll go down, I might try and avoid the rabbit hole, but we'll see. I just wanted to say, though, and you mentioned Conor McLaughlin, and honestly, I think that's exactly the type of signing we're trying to avoid.
Probably, yeah.
You see. I mean, people are going mad about Piggott, which I still don't get, and all this. But it's players like that who've had half decent seasons in the lower leagues, and I just think that if you look at these players, I mean, Pritchard, Evans, and Doyle, right? If you look at those three, we're looking at players who are a level above the McLaughlins, above the Danny Grahams. We're looking at a group of players who are better than those plodders. And I want us to look in that group exclusively. I don't want the McLaughlins of the world signing for us again. And I think they're taking their time to avoid that because there's tons of McLaughlins on the market.
Yeah.
But they haven't bought any. And I think that's a brilliant sign. Going to the patience question, that comes into it, that would people be happier if we'd signed more Conor McLaughlins and Danny Grahams? If we'd signed six or seven, but they were all of that level? Would people be happier than if we got to this point now on the 1st or 2nd of August, start of August, and, you know, in 4 weeks' time, 3.5 weeks' time, whatever, we come out with two signings at right and left back, who are maybe signings like Doyle, coming from Premier League, you know, academies, who are just as good as Doyle at right back, quick, energetic, up and down the wings, and we get another striker, another midfielder or whatever, but we get the right players. I'd rather go down that route because I think those type of players, the McLaughlins, the Danny Grahams, are 10 a penny, and we could have done that already. So I'm happy being patient in the hope, because it's not confirmed, but in the hope that we're going down that route rather than the usual one.
To touch on that as well, Chris, about the, you know, everyone's signing everyone, you know what I mean, in League One, because there's a lot of, like, Ipswich have gone out and signed a lot of players, and that's, I think, that's why people are getting a little bit, you know, oh, Ipswich are signing this, that and the other, but I would say there's only two players I'm actually quite jealous of other teams signing. One of them's Lewis Wing, who's got to Sheffield Wednesday. But would he have got in at Sunderland? You know what I mean? He's like a winger. We've got McGeady, we've got Gooch, we're quite okay in that position.
Just on that end, sorry to butt in, but the Jebison link shows the type of wide player we're looking for, because he's a centre forward who can play wide because he's got pace. We're not looking for a wing. Lewis Wing's a good player. But we've already got, like you say, McGeady. We've already got Gooch. Those are wingers that we've already got. So you're dead right. Like, we're not looking down that line.
No, and the only other signing that I would have probably said I'd have him at Sunderland is that Chaplin, who from Barnsley. He was a Coventry, wasn't he? Scored against us. Give it the big ones, didn't he, in the 5-4 game. And I think he's a good player, but the rest of them, like, Piggott's league. He's a League One striker. He's a plodder. You know, I don't want him at Sunderland, to be totally honest with you. So, you know, I'm quite happy with. Obviously, we've signed Doyle. I mean, Doyle looks tremendous from what we've seen so far. Corey Evans has come in, done a job in all the games that I've seen him. It looks very, very confident, very comfortable playing in League One level. And Pritchard, we're yet to see, but he's £11 million player at one point. So, you know, this is going to improve the squad massively. And I think Chris has actually hit the nail on the head there, made me look quite silly with me McLaughlin comment, to be totally honest with you. So, I think it's a great point. I think he's made an absolutely fantastic point there. So, yeah, let's just calm down, you know what I mean?
The only other signing I would say out there that made me a little bit envious is Edmondson, who's went to Ipswich. Aha,
yes,
But then they've paid £1 million for him, and he's a young centre half. They paid £1 million, and he did, to be honest, that Rangers he didn't even get a look in. So there's a little bit of doubt over whether he's good enough to be in a £1 million player, really. Whereas you look at say what we've done, we've went for Doyle on loan. He hasn't cost us anything. Yet is a good player, clearly. Like I'm quite happy to put my neck on the line now and say he is going to be good enough in League One. It's quite evident from what we've seen so far that even though he's 17-year-old, he plays like an old head, you know what I mean? So I think actually what this is a good point to say this, really. I think Sunderland fans just need to stop judging us against other teams because Ipswich and Wigan are in totally different situations to us. Like, Ipswich got beat at the weekend in a pre-season. I know we say they don't count for anything. Ipswich got beat 3-0 and their manager came out after the game and said, well, we've got all these players to come in. I listened to his interview and he said he was quite lackadaisical about it. But they've got a lot of adjusting to do, Ipswich, because their squad was ripped to pieces at the end of the season, haven't had a very good time in League One so far. They're in a different sort of headspace to Sunderland. Likewise, Wigan. Wigan have been through hell the last couple of years and they're just coming back out and rebuilding. Whereas actually, Sunderland's core squad, I would say, is good and it's about adding quality to it rather than... I know we look like we haven't got a lot in numbers, and but then you look at the players we have got and you think, well, if those players were signing for Ipswich or Wigan, then I'd be envious. Like, if Aidan McGeady was signing for a rival in this league, I'd be jealous. So other teams will look at Sunderland and see Aidan McGeady re-signing this season and think, shit, he's a good player at this level. Luke O'Neill re-signing his contract. I know, like you've just touched on earlier, got his doubters amongst our fans. But for me, I think he's fantastic. I think he's a championship-level player who can play a number of positions, still a good age, brilliant attitude, works his socks off for the team. If he was signing for a rival, I'd be jealous. So then I look at these players in our squad and I think, we've got to be quite happy with what we've already got. And then you add to that the good young players who are starting to prove themselves. Embleton, who's been away on loan and come back, clearly going to be good enough. I like what I see from Dan Neil. I think Patterson, although apparently you know wasn't too great on Friday night, but I like what I've seen from him and I think he's going to be good competition for Burge, which means we don't have to sign another goalkeeper. All of these things, you know, add together, and I think actually we're all right. Like, we've played all right in pre-season. We've played some decent stuff, which indicates that what we've got already is good, and we just need to add quality to it. And that's when that patience thing comes in. I think people are just so used to Sunderland going out and signing six players who they've heard of every summer that when this club actually turn round this year and say, you know, as with this year, what we're going to do is we're going to bring in some players. Good players, like you explained the way brilliant, Chris. Players that are actually going to improve the team. But then, to complement that, instead of filling the squad with your McLaughlins, with your Danny Grahams, with your Remy Matthews, nah, you bring in Dan Neil, you bring in Embleton, you bring in Patterson, who are all, you know, potentially good players. And instead of paying somebody £2,000-£3,000 a week to sit on the bench, who you know is not going to be good enough to make the step up, you actually gamble on your academy players and say, this is the reason we've got a fucking Cat 1 Academy. Like, why has Sunderland never done this? Why have we never looked at that academy and said, this has to be, eventually, a production line of top players for the squad? And the situation we're in at the minute, we're in League One. We're not, you know, when you go into the Championship and the Premier League, especially, and that's why this maybe hasn't happened in the past, it becomes a lot more difficult to bring those players in and give them a proper chance. Whereas in League One, There's going to be opportunities for Dan Neil to play this season. There's going to be opportunities for Patterson to play in the Checker Trade games and the Cup games and get his feet in there. And if Burge struggles or he has an injury, he'll be ready to just jump in, you know, seamlessly. You don't have to bed a new player in. This kid's been in this club for how long? They know exactly what it's like to play for Sunderland. So I think, I always say this, I just think people have got to widen their perspective a little bit because it's going to be very different this year. We're going to be introducing a lot more youth to the team, and that might be from Premier League clubs, it might be from Championship clubs, loaning us the players. But I'm so open-minded about this. I've never felt as clear about something. I think this is the right way to go. Yeah. And when the Premier League starts, that is when these players are going to become available. I touched on this in the last podcast. There's lads playing in pre-season for the Man Uniteds, the Chelseas, the Man Cities, Liverpools, etc., 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 in pre-season, who aren't going to be anywhere near that 23 come the season starting. And that's why they're not available now. And I think when Lee Johnson's talked in the past about it being stagnant, that's exactly what he's talking about. I know it's difficult. People are struggling to sort of come to terms with why we haven't got this player, why we haven't got that player. And that's why. It's because they're just being very, very patient. And it's a big asking, you know, however many 100,000 Sunderland fans to be just as patient and to buy into it. Which leads us on to the next question. I know I've rambled for a bit there. Andy Lynn asked us on Twitter, why do you think the comms from the club so poor these days? Right. Now, he has a point, because we haven't heard a great deal from the guys at the top.
Nah.
And some might say we don't need to hear from them. But I think this all sort of, the way they're trying to operate clearly hasn't been explained in a way enough, and I don't know who it has to come from for the penny to drop. So is it a case of we let things sort of play out, Chris? Or could the club help, I guess, in the sense that they could allay fears by sort of talking? Or is this something that we've done wrong in the past? Because Stuart Donald was all over Twitter, wasn't he? Sort of playing down fears, and look how that ended. We ended up paying $4 million for Will Grigg.
Yeah, I was. It's funny. I had a smile on my face when you were doing your monologue there. That, you know, you were talking about saying, you know, the way we need to do some things, and I was honestly thinking about, you know, the comments that people have made about, well, why doesn't the club come out and explain exactly where we're going and what we're doing and all this sort of stuff? Like, we're going to see that. You can see that already. You can see the three players we've signed are better than what we've got. So clearly, they're looking for players who are better than what we've got. They're not looking for... The worst thing they could have done was as soon as the season finished, looked at players who would just fill the squad with players who've got League One experience. It was the worst thing they could have done. So they didn't do it. They brought in players who look, you know, from what we've seen in pre-season, a level above. So they're showing us their plan. They might not come out and say it in an interview. They might not come out, saying, we want to make an announcement to the fans. We're looking for players better than we've got. It's like, well, right? I mean, why should they come out and say something? You know, I mean, it's clear what they're trying to do. I mean, why should, you know, they come out and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, we will definitely sign a fullback by Saturday. I mean, who, you know, they're obviously working on it. They've been working on it all summer. They know they've got a plan. And look, we'll see it when it comes to the start of the season, when it comes to the window. We'll see exactly what they're doing. And there's no need for them to come out and explain every part of the way. You know, when the window shuts, I'm sure the club within 48 hours will have a podcast with Speakman, with Johnson, saying, yeah, right, okay, this is what we're doing. This is our thinking behind it. We've brought these players in. These players are going to get a chance. We've now got a pathway for the academy players, because we're creating a pathway instead of just saying, well, okay, there's no chance unless you really, really impress us or whatever. Or, you know, they're going to tell us about all of this in good time. But now they're busy. Just let them get
on with the jobs, isn't it?
Yeah. the only thing I would add to that really is that when these pre-season games have been played, the press are in front of Johnson asking him the questions around recruitment, which he isn't doing. I don't think personally he's done a very good job trying to explain what's going on. And he sometimes struggles to, which might seem strange because he is quite an articulate bloke, but I think he struggles sometimes to articulate what he actually means, and maybe that's not being particularly useful. I just wonder, and I'm not saying they should definitely do this, I'm just wondering whether they could maybe take a little bit of that pressure off him. And I don't know what they could do, though, to be fair. Like, you've just said it right there. What could they really do? They're not going to come and do a podcast. And I don't think they're going to start leaking stories through the press, which is the traditional, old-fashioned way, isn't it, to allay fears, is just throw a few dodgy transfer rumours out to the local journals and hope it calms people down until we actually sign someone. It's going to be a struggle, Ant, really, isn't it, to convince people until they actually see the proof on the pitch, which will be... you know, new players clicking very quickly, I imagine.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's a funny thing, isn't it? Because when Donald was doing the whole Twitter stuff, everyone was like begging him to get off Twitter. And now, because we haven't signed anyone for a couple of weeks, we're now wanting communications from the club. It's a little bit strange, but I totally get what you mean about Johnson with his press conferences, because he has been. It looks as if he would rather talk about anything bar silence. I don't think that, to be honest, it's not his area, though, is it? Because Speakman's doing all that, isn't it? Speakman's cherry picking the players and things like that. So I think Johnson really just wants to focus on managing the players of what he's got at the minute. So for me, I think Chris hit the nail on the head. Just let them get on, let them do the jobs, and then you know we can rightfully, if by the end of August, if we haven't started well and we haven't filled these positions, then that's the time to have a pop. Not now, not like a week before the season starts. You know, we've had a decent pre-season, play some very good football. You know, let's wait and see at the minute. You know, let's wait and see what happens instead of just like, we're very, very easy. And I know it's very easy to jump on this, you know, negativity bandwagon. And, I told four season in League One, yes, we haven't signed as many players as people would have liked, but just have a bit of, just calm down a bit. I mean, that's my message I really want to give to everybody. Just take a breath, you know, calm down. You know, we've had like a year of, we're nearly 2 years of not seeing our football club. We're going to go back on Saturday for the first time in, you know, what, 18, 19 months. And everyone's whinging on because we haven't signed a right back. Now just enjoy yourselves. You know, it's crazy.
So the overriding message there was take a breath.
I feel like, you know, remember Harry Enfield and chums back in the 90s and had them three scars. Calm down. I feel like that all the time when I'm on Twitter. I'm like, just calm down, everybody. Just, you know, the time to have a go at them, and I will probably join in this, is if at the end of August, if we still haven't addressed the fullback issue and we've had not a great start of the season, then fair enough. I think them, you know, comments are probably welcome there. Well, not welcome, but they're probably fair. Whereas now, just, yeah, like I say, just, there's so much, like, and I don't want to, like, go into the whole COVID thing, but there's so much of, like, you need to get things into perspective of what we've actually missed in the last 18 months. You know, go to the matches with, you know, your pals. I go with my dad all the time. I've not sat next to my dad for, like, a year and a half at the stadium, had a pint and all that, you know what I mean? That's what I'm more looking forward to as the season starts, the match day experience, and hopefully 90 minutes on Saturday, some good football, and we win 1-0 or 2-0 or whatever. You know, just let's think about the football side of things, you know what I mean? Instead of like having a pop at Speakman because we haven't signed a right back or a left back, you know, they will sign one, you know, they will do that. They're not stupid people. They're not like going to say, oh, we don't need one. You know, oh, we're happy with Carl Winchester playing right back and Dan Mayer left back. That's not going to be the case at the end of January. So like I said, take a breath.
that's probably a good point to end on, actually.
All three of us have had a little rant. And I'm positive for a change.
I think that's a good point to end on. We've went on a while now. I'm not going to talk about the game at the weekend because we'll have a preview pod coming up before the end of the week, so that'll be nice. I think you're taking that one, Chris, so everyone can hear your lovely voice again before the weekend. But yeah, thanks, lads, for joining us. I think we've got a lot off our chest there.
Yeah, we have.
It's quite good.
Yeah.
I love markets, mate.
Yeah, there's been a few in this. Tack of breath, and I love market. Actually, I think I said I was a right market nonce, didn't I? So that might, yeah, well, I don't think you're going to get away with putting the word nonce in a pod title, like, so I don't think that's advisable, Sean. But yeah, okay, cheers, lads, thanks for joining us. Like I say, we'll be back before the game at the weekend, so make sure you refresh your podcatcher. If you're like me and you hate the new iPhone pod app, just throw it away and use Spotify or Acast or whatever else, because there's a million other options out there. But yeah, we'll be back before the weekend, so we will catch you then. See you later.
You ever beat one market, Danny?
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.